youngsters. He bid $500 on the 1981 autographed baseball, which was far and away the most we'd ever had. We started at nothing. And so we called to verify, really, I mean, to make sure. And he said, yeah, I want to do it. And so he won. He got the baseball. And then he called back a little later, and he said, you can keep the ball. I'll just send in the $500, because he just wanted to do this thing. And so
you personally?
No, not me.
Like he bought it for you?
No, it's, you know, we auctioned it again off the next week.
Oh, I was going to say, if anybody wanted to buy the baseball for me, I'd be open to that.
All right. Are you available for auction by chance?
Yeah.
Can we auction you off, John?
Maybe we should get something that's a little more value. Actually, I think this baseball is going to have, it'll be interesting to see what kind of value it has, as I think that this past season, the 1981 season, because of the strike and the short duration of the season, will make it completely unique among among all seasons in baseball history.
Right.
And you know, with the preponderance of collectors in baseball who collect baseball memorabilia, baseballs, baseball cards, and that sort of thing, this might be something worth having as a collectible. So you might think about that. And of course, if you're a Red Sox fan, that 1981 ball club will be remembered as a club of the year of excitement, a club that came from behind at more than half of its victories to post wins. It seemed a 6-1 deficit in the eighth inning was almost surely a Red Sox victory, because there just was never a time when they gave up. So this is certainly, for many different aspects, worth having. And let's hear some action on this autographed baseball, autographed by all the members of the 1981 edition of the Boston Red Sox.
I just want to say also that I was out at Mount Tom today, and we were out there a little longer than we had anticipated, but I must tell you, it was great. It's a marvelous facility, and I got to watch an awful lot of people skiing, and they came up with a very, very nice contribution to the Jimmy Fund. Jim Sadowski, of course, was very helpful through Williams Distributing Company, but our thanks to Dave and Jim and all of the fellows out there at Mount Tom. It's their first annual effort, and of course it's all part of what we're doing here on WHMP. And gosh, what a great crowd on a beautiful day out there. And I hadn't seen the place before, and they have that alpine slide out there, and they've got the new water thing that looks terrific.
Did you try that?
No, I didn't try anything. I did have a little popcorn, but that was
See, that's
that was kind of
unusual,
yeah.
Ken, because around the Red Sox and around baseball, Ken's known as a guy who tries everything.
Well, I just didn't think... first of all, I didn't have skis, and it makes it very difficult to do this without them, especially if you're wearing dress shoes. In fact, I almost fell down several times at the finish line. So, I can see we're off to a great... to a great start again here, John.
All right, here's Ken Downhill Racer Coleman with the phone numbers. Downhill?
Downhill 586 and 8787. And in Greenfield, 774-4301.
How about the left field wall plaque? Are we getting some action on that?
Well, that was Jim McNally, who was just here. He brought it up to $500.
Oh, great.
Yep, that's what we were talking about. You were reading your book, which we'll all be hearing during the course of the summer.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason I didn't hear it, I guess, is because I was looking at a couple of Yogi Berra quotes here, and these are my kind of quotes. They got one where Yogi was talking to Ken Boswell. You may remember Ken Boswell was a second baseman with the Mets back in the 60s. Boswell went to Yogi and said, "Yogi, I'm in a rut. I can't break myself of this habit. I keep swinging up at the ball." Yogi looked at him and says, "Well, swing down." Lefty Gomez says to Yogi in spring training, says, "What's your cap size, Yogi?" Yogi says, "How do I know? I'm not in shape yet." So it's no wonder, Ken, that
I thought you were going to say he didn't have a boat.
No wonder I didn't hear about the left field wall. How much is $500?
$500 from the Michael F. Curtin Post. And
now, is he going to buy that for you?
No. This is for the Post. They won it. They got it last year. They made the high bid last year, and they want it to be a matching situation. So, you know, that's what we're doing. And Jim is right here, and What, you got a donut there, Jim? Good. Help yourself, Ted. Have one. We really, what a great thing they're doing for us today. And again, our telephone number is 586-8787, and in Greenfield, 774-4301. Is an anonymous contribution and a very sizable one, two of them. Thank you very much to two anonymous contributors. We appreciate your help here today on our Jimmy Fund Radiothon on WHMP.
Ken, I see the tote board is slowly climbing up of almost $7,300 there now, and it's been a fairly good afternoon and a couple of hours left in the Radiothon, so there's plenty of time left, and it's a good thing the two of you are doing this Radiothon. This must be sort of a warm-up. This is your pre-spring training, isn't it?
You want to answer that, Ken? You want me to take it?
Well, you can take that one, John, if you will.
Normally, if this was mid-season, we'd just jump right onto that, but...
Oh, all right.
We're not in shape yet. Remember now, the phone numbers are 586-8787, 586-8787. Give us a call. There's nobody on the line right now. Light it up and make a donation of any size. If you'd like to put a bid on one of the that we've already mentioned, feel free to do so. Over in Greenfield, you can reach us by calling 774-4301.
Maybe if we can get all three of those phones ringing at once, we can favor folks with your commercial.
Well, that would be good. That'd probably shut down the phones for the rest of the day.
Greg Adams has a special word here for us right now.
Yes, thank you very much, Ken. First of all, I got another addition here. The Michael F. Curtin Post has a ladies' auxiliary, and they've added another $200 to their bid, making the bid for the left field wall $700, which is absolutely terrific. We really appreciate that. There's no question about it. The number, again, is 586-8787. And we want to see those phones ring a little bit more than they are right now. As a matter of fact, there you go. The third phone is ringing. I always like to see that third phone ringing. And we'd like to ask Peter to read this one.
Yes, we'd just like to acknowledge Edward Wiskowitz, if that's the correct pronunciation, I hope so, of 1 East Street, Hadley. He's run a number of bus trips, and he also gave us a very, very generous pledge. I would just like to acknowledge his help today. Thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you very much.
I've been told, Ken, that the Curtin Post is building a Fenway Park West as they continue to add to that piece of wall.
They really are. Maybe they ought to. Maybe we ought to get some of the roof that they're taking down. They're putting in those new luxury boxes. Maybe we ought to get some pieces of the roof and get those up here too. What do you think, John? Are you buying one of those luxury boxes, incidentally, for yourself for the season?
Yeah. Well, the one they offered me, in fact, the one they offered the two of us, was nice, but it had an obstructed view.
Oh. Well, and we don't want that one, do we?
Like
Gail
to...
Simons has bid on the baseball $5. A $5 bid from Gail Simons bidding on the autographed baseball. So we're starting on that from Hinckley Street in Northampton. Thank you,
now,
Gail.
This is a good item, this baseball. Again, remember back to last season. That was it was quite a year. The number 586-8787 over in Greenfield, 774-4301. There was a lot of excitement last year, and let's take you back a little bit and remember some of it.
On Friday, April the 10th, 1981, at Fenway Park, the Red Sox season began. It started with a new manager, Ralph Houk, and quite a few new players. However, one of the old players, Carlton Fisk, homered. Chicago was a winner. Opening day was spoiled. Game two went to Boston in dramatic fashion.
Here is Rice, the man you want to have up in this spot against one of baseball's highest-paid relief pitchers. They're loaded up, and Farmer continues to work from the stretch. He's ready. The pitch on the way. There's a long drive to left center. The floor to the wall. Gone! A grand slam homer for Jim Rice.
A late come-from-behind rally. It was to be the first of many by the Red Sox of 1981. The 1981 Boston Red Sox. A review of the Red Sox year of excitement. ...1981 actually wasn't a full season at all. It was two-thirds of a season cut in half. The Red Sox were not champions of either half, but nonetheless displayed a tenaciousness that resulted in more than half of their season's total of victories being achieved by coming from behind. The team began to overcome deficits so regularly that the early season joke of, well, the Red Sox will win if only they can manage to get far enough behind, became a pretty accurate summation of the season. There was one week in late May in which the Sox came back from deficits five different times in six games, almost always in the eighth or ninth innings. One night against Cleveland, Rick Miller had the big come-from-behind hit.
Line 11 into the windup. Here's his pitch. Fastball. There's a drive to right for Pesky's pole, and you can tell it goodbye!
The very next game, Milwaukee was leading 3-2 in the eighth inning over the Red Sox. Ace reliever Raleigh Fingers was on the mound. He had two outs and a two-strike count on Joe Rudy.
Fingers has the sign from Simmons. Here's the pitch now. There's a drive to left. Way back there. And it is gone! A home run for Joe Rudy. And Boston has gone ahead 4-3.
Less than 24 hours after that, the Sox were trailing the Milwaukee Brewers 6-1 into the ninth inning and began a rally. Finally, with the score 6-3 and two men down, again, Fingers in the mound, he was facing Dwight Evans.
Ogilvie straight away and left. Edwards is playing over toward right center. The wind is blowing out. Three balls, no strikes to count on Evans. Now the set and the pitch. There's a drive to left field deep, and it is tied!
And there you have it. Some of the highlights of this past season from the Red Sox.
Oh, great. You know, I said it's tied. I used that line in 67. Remind me.
It's tied?
Yeah. Dalton Jones hit a home run in Detroit in 67, and I said, it's tied. So I got to be careful.
Well, you used it again in 81. You wouldn't be due to use it again until 1995. I think it's all right to repeat it every 14 years.
Okay.
We played that to get a little action on the baseball.
And we got a bid from Dolly Jolly of Cranberry Lane in Amherst of $50.
Good golly. Dolly Jolly?
Dolly Jolly has come up with a heck of a bid.
Well, you know, my daughter's name is Holly.
That's right.
Middle name is Dolly, Holly Dolly.
Okay. Dolly Jolly. Thank you, Dolly.
Fantastic, Dolly.
Gee, on that high note, why don't we go over to Charlie Pellett, the WHMP mobile unit, to see what he's got going up. Charlie?
Okay, thank you, Dave Matson. We're down in beautiful, delightful downtown Northampton, in the heart of downtown Northampton, because we've got another event going on for the Jimmy Fund at the Hotel Northampton. And with me in the WHMP mobile unit is the executive director of the Greater Northampton Chamber of Commerce, Paul Walker. We ran into Paul at Mount Tom earlier on this afternoon. Paul's a busy guy back in downtown Northampton taking care of the darts contest that's going on. Paul, can you tell us how this ties into the Winter Festival? And then also tell us how it relates to the Jimmy Fund.
Well, Charlie, it concludes tomorrow as the first international dart tournament between our sister city, Northampton, England, and Northampton, Massachusetts. It'll get underway at 11 o'clock here in the Coach Light Room of the Hotel Northampton, when we will initiate the first telephone call, which will go on for 3 hours. And the radio monitoring equipment and telephone equipment, we'll be able to hear them cheering over there and cheering here.
All right, now what I'd like to do is I'd like to check out with one of the young men that's participating in the thing here in Northampton. Trevor, tell us how the whole contest is working, and then let's find out about your score so far.
How it's working? Well, it's working pretty good right now, and we're going out to beat England tomorrow, and I guarantee we will do that.
Now,
just
sounds,
for Northampton.
It sounds kind of odd having somebody with an accent like yours talking about managing to beat England.
I'm on the American side, all the way.
All right, so it's Northampton, USA versus Northampton, England. Are you optimistic? Can we count on a win tomorrow?
Definitely.
All right, that's optimism. Bob, step over here. Tell us about what's going on inside today for the Jimmy Fund.
Okay, at the Jimmy Fund, they're putting on a cork shoot, which is the bullseye. Competitors will get 12 darts at the center cork. And the total fall, the person with the most hits into the center court or about that area will win a small consolation prize for it, but the amount of money which goes into it will benefit those children in the Jimmy Fund.
Now, how long have you folks been in there shooting darts today?
Well, let's see. It's 4:45 now. I've been there since 1 o'clock, well, actually 12 o'clock, and actually I started this morning at about 11 o'clock, actually getting my arm ready for this thing, and didn't get where I am now.
All right. I guess you're hoping for Major League darting, or is that what we've got now in Northampton?
Yeah, pretty close to it now. You have some professional class shooters within the Western Massachusetts Darting Association. I played out of Northampton for 3 years on a dart team with Trevor. We did quite well. We never, we did lose last year, but we went first place three years straight.
Okay, all for the Jimmy Fund today, though, or at least a great deal of the proceeds will be going to the Jimmy Fund. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And, Paul, any final remarks about the Winter Festival here in Northampton?
Well, it's been a great Winter Festival, and as Ken Coleman told us today, when he came into town yesterday, he heard our King Winter talking about being responsible for this. And I think that as of tomorrow, Ken and the listeners, they can start to get ready to start spring on Monday morning.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. Let's return to the Hampshire Mall once again. Dave Matson.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. And that all goes on tomorrow as far as the International Dart Tournament is concerned. And Ken Coleman and John Miller here now. And John has got his book of quotable quotes.
No, that's my book.
Oh, that's Ken's
Dave,
book.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Jim
Goggin
went over and got one for me.
It
looks
just
got his
like
book
mine.
In there, so we'll have to compare pages this year. Incidentally, I think a lot of you will be interested in knowing this. I think it's very apropos, and Dave, as an old radio guy yourself and now a television announcer, probably a lot of people will be interested in knowing that John and I will be dressed exactly the same for the games this summer. So you'll want to notice that as you're listening to the games on the radio. We're going to have blue blazers.
We're going in full color this year for the first time
right.
on the Red Sox Network.
We also will have a red blazer, so we won't have to wear the same blazer for 182 games.
Are you wearing the red or the blue on opening day?
Opening day?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We're in Chicago, and we're with the Red Sox, so I think maybe...
Better wear the blue, then.
You think so? Okay, whatever. The White Sox getting
It'll
new uniforms this year.
It'll match our noses in Chicago.
They're getting new uniforms, I think.
They're White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Here's a quote for you, Ken. It's kind of interesting. Out of your book of baseball's greatest quotes...
Okay.
We just brought it over here at Walden Books right down the hall.
Might be the same in yours.
Well, it's an interesting quote. Tell me what you think of it. It says, baseball is in its infancy. Now, I guess to put that in perspective, I should tell you that that was said by Charles Ebbets, president of the Brooklyn Dodgers, in 1909.
Oh, well, then I would say that's a fairly accurate quote. Yeah.
He was correct.
Gee, what an observant guy he was.
See,
huh?
There's a lot of other interesting quotes just like that.
Any Vin Scully quotes?
There was a Vin Scully quote, but I lost it. No, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. How about some Jerry Coleman quotes? You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Always in baseball, we get a lot of letters, cards, and whatnot. We should give the phone numbers, I guess, 586-8787. And in Greenfield, it's...
774-4301. And we have Debbie Brown of Tom McCann, Sharon Peckham of Deb, and Kim Welch of the Deb Store on the phones waiting for you to call. So, okay, let's hear it for
standing ovation.
Okay.
We always, of course, in the course of broadcasting 180 baseball games a year, you're on the air for 3 hours or so every day. And when you have such a tenuous grasp of the language anyway, as is the case with both Ken and I, you're going to get into situations where you say something
Ken
really that
me.
You didn't mean to. Ken and me. Right. Did me say that? Anyway, we always, of course, immediately forget any of our faux pas, but I've always enjoyed some of the things that Jerry Coleman, the broadcaster of the San Diego Padres, has said. And remember, Jerry Coleman was a fine infielder with the New York Yankees.
A very good infielder, and then, of course, he managed the Padres 2 years ago.
Right. But the one I really enjoyed, there are two of them I really enjoyed. Maybe you have some other ones, Ken. But the first one that I really enjoyed was where Coleman has a guy on his team.
Jerry Coleman.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Broadcaster. Guy hits one off the wall, and Coleman says, and he's racing into second base, and he's in there sliding with a stand-up double. The other one was, he had, I think it was Dave Kingman going back to the left field wall, and he says, he's back, 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 he's back to the left field wall. His head hits the left field wall, and now it's rolling back toward the infield.
And he picks it up and throws it into second base.
He had Raleigh Fingers. He said, see, we, Padres has some action in the bullpen. Raleigh Fingers is throwing up in the bullpen now.
Those things happen. They kind of slip out on us. Dave, have you ever had anything like that happen to you? Have you ever had those
many
problems?
Many, many times here this afternoon. Matter of fact, trying to talk with Governor King was an interesting experience. We had a little trouble with the telephone, and but we did get through to the governor, and the governor made a $100 pledge.
Yeah, he's been a great supporter of the Jimmy Fund, for which we're most grateful. And I also want to say I'm sorry I missed. I was coming back from Mount Tom when I heard Joe Fennessy. I wish I had had the chance to see Joe. He's a fine man, and appreciated the nice things he had to say.
I guess we could remind the numbers again. The number in Northampton and the surrounding town, 586-8787. And if you were listening on WHII up in Greenfield, 774-4301 is the number you call in there. And the phones are ringing down here. We're keeping a little bit busier than we were in the past, as there's a little over 2.25 hours to go in this third annual Jimmy Fund Radiothon at the Hampshire Mall.
Here's another Jerry Coleman quote, Ken. It says, this is Jerry doing a broadcast, and he says, with one out here in the first, Dave Roberts looks a lot better than the last time he pitched against the Padres.
One out here in the first. He must have been pretty tough the first time out, I guess, huh? Jerry, incidentally, this past summer, when John mentioned this morning, John and I did the Strat-O-Matic baseball games, and I mentioned about the 46 game that we did, John. You were not in the area then at that point when I was talking about it, but remember, we tried to get the date with the Andrews sisters because we were in the time machine.
Right, it was 1946.
I was single,
yeah,
and it was okay.
Right,
you know,
you hadn't been married yet.
Yeah, so we didn't. But what they did was the Padres, who had this terrible record last year, they did a series of ball games that were played against other teams, and they never lost a game, right? They won every game.
Well, they didn't really play in a game. Somebody just wrote a script every day.
Yeah.
Did Ricardo Montalban do the play-by-play on that?
They all knew. One of a kind. Here's another Jerry Coleman one. You remember Glenn Beckert, the fine second baseman with the Cubs?
Yes.
He finished his career in San Diego. When he retired, Jerry Coleman said, we're all sad to see Glenn Beckert leave. Before he goes, though, I hope he stops by so we can kiss him goodbye. He's that kind of guy.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Jerry. 586-8787. All you have to do is call, and we won't use any more quotes out of the
And also, we'd
book.
Like to mention, Peter Keenan has just informed me that 10 posters will go to the next 10 pledges over $10, or $10 or over. If a $10 pledge comes in, you will get a poster. And these are very nice posters. I think you'll like them. And we also want to mention again that if you come by, I don't know, I guess we're pretty well out of the Arthur Fiedler albums. I think we might have one left. Yeah, we do. We have one left. So those have gone very, very well. Pardon?
$25 better.
For that last one?
Sure.
Okay, $25 for the last Arthur Fiedler poster. And we'll have John sign that for you.
John Fiedler.
Yeah. You know what happened to me one time? I might tell this story. My mother was a wonderful fan of Arthur Fiedler's. I mean, she used to go and see him all the time at Symphony Hall and over at the Hatch Memorial Shell. And she's just a great, great fan. And in the years that I worked in Cleveland, whenever I would come in with the Cleveland Indians and we would be playing the Boston Red Sox, I would stay, of course, at home with my mother, which was very nice to be able to do. And in her bedroom, she had pictures of all the grandchildren and everybody. And I came home one time, and there's a picture of Arthur Fiedler in the bedroom, and it's signed to my dear friend Francis, with best wishes and warmest regards always, Sincerely, Arthur. And I looked at this thing, and I said, Mom, I said, this is marvelous. I said, you know, where did the, how did this all come about? I'm thrilled for you. And she said, I signed it myself. Nobody knows the difference. You know, that's the way it is with the Irish folks.
But even though Ken has that kind of a background, ladies and gentlemen, we want to reiterate that this is a legitimately signed autograph ball. Ken didn't sign all these autographs himself. What is it? We're still at $50 on that ball?
$50 is the bid from Mrs. Jolly right at the moment.
Well, let's hear, maybe we could hear from some of you Dwight Evans fans out there. 586-8787 or in Greenfield 774-4301. Remember the kind of year Evans had. The team lost some of its big stars, and there were a lot of skeptics who felt the Sox wouldn't do it. But Dwight Evans was certainly one of the reasons that the Sox had such a fine season. He had the year of his life. And while we look back on the year Evans had, give us a call now, especially all you Dwight Evans fans. Make a bid on this baseball, or let's just make a bid for the Jimmy Fund here. Help the kids of the Jimmy Fund. 586-8787 in Greenfield, 774-4301.
Here's a quote.
Dwight Evans, he was a story all unto himself in 1981. He led the team in almost every major offensive category. It was, without question, the best year of his career. The outfield deep, straight away for Evans. Rushell is ready, and the pitch on the way. Swung on a high drive to left field. Gamble back. He turns. He looks. Hit it. Goodbye! A two-run homer for Evans. And Fenway Park is on its feet. Boston has tied it up. A large measure of how good Evans was can be taken by seeing when he got his hits. He had some of the most important of anybody in baseball.
What do you think, Bob? Hit or take 3-0?
I got to give the green light here, and a man can win the ballgame for me.
He's hit a couple home runs on 3-0 this year. Here it comes. It's gone.
Pitches. There's a drive into left field deep. It is deep. It is. Good! High ball game. Dwight Evans. Two out. Ninth inning. Ties it at 7.
For good measure, Evans is still quite probably the best right fielder in the American League, if not all of baseball. What an arm.
It's to Mayberry. Line drive, base hit to right field. Evans fields it on one hop. Here comes Bell to the plate. Here comes the throw. It is in time. He's out. Dwight Evans has gunned down George Bell at the plate. A perfect throw by Evans that was there waiting for George Bell. Bell tried to run over Gary Allenson, and Allenson survives the collision and holds on to the baseball.
All right, let's hear from you Dwight Evans fans out there. Didn't mean to shout there. Ken, the 586-8787, that's the number to call here. And we still have, what is the highest bid on the autograph baseball?
Our highest bid on the autograph Red Sox baseball is $50 from Mrs. Dolly Jolly of Amherst. Let's see if someone can give Mrs. Jolly a run for her money. 586-8787.
And in Greenfield, the number to call
is 774-4301.
All right, let's get going on that baseball.
Take, it's slower in Greenfield. So. Takes a longer time to dial that number.
If Dolly Jolly married the artist Salvador Dali, she would be Dolly Jolly Dolly. And if she was particularly happy with that marriage, I guess you could say that she would be